Welcome to the Partial Historians.
We explore all the details of ancient Rome.
Everything from the political scandals, the love affairs, the battles waged, and when citizens turn against each other. I'm Dr. Rad.
And I'm Dr. G. We consider Rome as the Romans saw it, by reading different authors from the ancient past and comparing their stories.
Join us as we trace the journey of Rome from the founding of the city. Welcome to a brand new episode of The Partial Historians, where we are tracing the journey of Rome from the founding of the city. I am one of your hosts, Dr. Rad.
And I am Dr. G. And boy, what a time we're in Roman history. It's the early republic. People are everywhere. Armies are in places. And the Romans, they're a little bit all over the shop as well.
They are. We are in around 443 BCE at the moment. And to give you a bit of a recap of what happened last episode, well, quite frankly, would not have been out of place on Keeping Up with the Kardashians, Dr. G.
Well, you know, when you're a patrician and you really like a girl, she has to be hot, doesn't she?
Oh, if she's a plebeian, hell yes, she has to be hot. I mean, otherwise, what else is she bringing to the relationship?
Ouch!
So we had this whole situation where Rome got involved in a civil conflict that had broken out in the nearby area of Ardea. And it was between a patrician group and a plebeian group. And it is really interesting that even though Ardea is seen as being culturally quite different to the Romans, there's apparently still patricians and plebeians running around.
Look, I'm not going to lie. I don't believe Livy. I don't think their social...
Now you mention it. God.
I don't think their social structure is necessarily going to resemble that of the Romans at this point in time. We know that they come from a different language group.
Yes.
They seem pretty independent. And they certainly don't want Rome involved. No. What are the chances that their whole society is structured on the same premise as patricians and plebeians that Livy and Dionysius of Halicarnassus really want us to believe is the way that the Romans operated in this very early period of the Republic?
I'll tell you why. Because Rome is the best, and therefore everything they have, everyone else wants.
Oh.
Anyway, so Rome ended up getting involved in this conflict over a very hot plebeian girl, which spilled out into civil war. Seems to happen an unnatural amount of times in the ancient world. And that ended up being really good for the Romans, actually.
It did.
Yeah.
Yeah. The consul of 443, Gaganius, he manages to secure a triumph out of that.
Yep.
Incredible stuff, really.
It is. It is.
And he has a girl to thank, and her name has not been recorded. And frankly, that's not good enough.
You know what? You're right. And also, back at home, things had been peaceful domestically with consuls in charge.
Yes. And apparently, a census.
Yes. With the official position of censor being created, because quite frankly, it's just too much paperwork for the consuls. They're not interested. They're not down for it.
The Romans are living in exciting times.
I know. So that was our quick recap of 443 BCE. Now, Dr. G, I'm going to take you into 442. All right, Dr. G, so I know that you're going to be very attached to Livy today because Dionysius does not exist.
Oh, yes, Dionysius of Halicarnassus is sadly missing for 442 BC, but I'm happy to give you what little I have been able to throw together by the way of other material.
Look, I really appreciate the effort.
So I start with Broughton.
Yes.
He and his co-author created a two-volume, which then became a three-volume set, of Magistrates of the Republic.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a great text, really. I mean, such good work. And anyway, we have the consuls. Marcus Fabius, son of Quintus, grandson of Marcus Vibulanus.
Mm.
A patrician.
Of course, he's a Fabian. He's a Fabian. Come on.
And then Posthumus Abutius, father unknown, grandfather unknown, Helva Cornican.
That's an unusual last couple of names there.
It is the whole thing is a little bit unusual. Abutius, Helvia, Cornican is also a patrician, but Cornican just makes me think of corns, and I'm sorry, but I don't really want my political leaders to have skin conditions like that.
Well, okay. So this pair is also the pair that is in Livy, and they know that they're coming into a difficult position because the year before, with Gaganius getting a triumph,
was so good.
Yeah, really good. And Quinctius Capitolinus, I mean, to be honest, it doesn't seem like he actually does a lot, but everybody just loves him to pieces by this stage because he's older, he's been around the block a few times, they all know who he is. So they're following a class act.
Yeah, he's one of those silver fox consuls.
Yeah, and they know that this therefore means that they've got a lot to try and live up to, because 443 had been a pretty goddamn good year as far as everyone was concerned in Rome. And also because not just how the consuls had personally conducted themselves, but the shame of that decision that had been made to steal the Ardeans territory when they were most vulnerable.
We're just going to take it.
Yeah. That stain had somewhat been lifted by the fact that the Romans had managed to successfully help them out with their civil war.
I'm interested that Rome felt a sense of shame. It seems so unusual and so out of keeping with how Rome conducts itself in the future. But we'll leave that for now. It's interesting that once upon a time, a bit like Darth Vader, once had a soul.
Well, you know what? Look, if I'm being very cynical, Dr. G, which you know is so unlike me, but I feel like this really is part of the class conflict story, because the people made that decision. When Ardea came to Rome with this border dispute issue, it seems like years ago now, it had been the people that had made that decision.
Yeah.
That
land should be ours.
Yeah, the patricians / senators, however you want to designate them, they'd never been on board with doing that. They thought it was dishonorable because it wasn't what they were asked. They were asked to settle a border dispute, not, hey, do you want this land?
But what if those borders were Roman?
Well, exactly. And so I feel like this is just a constant dig at how the people don't make good political decisions.
Yes, and I think this is part of the way that we can tell that we're in a very rhetorical presentation of history.
Yes.
And this is something that historians are always aware of, is that, and maybe Dionysius of Halicarnassus and Livy are aware of this to a certain extent as well, but historians are constructing a narrative from the available evidence.
Yes.
There are some things which might be considered facts, but not everything is a fact.
Yeah.
And sometimes facts are only relevant to the extent to which they help you understand what might be going on somewhere. And you have to pick and choose. There are always too many things happening, or conversely, as a historian, not enough records.
Yeah.
To be sure. So you've either got too much information and you have to decide what you leave out, or you don't have enough information and you've got to try and fill in the gaps.
Mm.
And Livy and Dionysius of Halicarnassus are very much trying to fill in gaps.
Oh, massively. I mean, early Republic, I don't know what they're using. Well, I mean, I do, but I don't think those sources would have been very detailed.
The trouble is that they're using the fasti. So they're using consular lists, which is fine and dandy, and it's something that has existed that the Romans have looked after, and they're like, these are our lists. And the Romans love lists. We've seen this before.
Hello, censorship.
But they're also relying on some really early historiography that has been written by others, which unfortunately for us now no longer survives, as far as we're aware, unless somebody turns up an amazing treasure. We still hold out hope always.
If you find it, we're interested in buying it.
So we've got Ennius as an early source, Fabius Pictor as an earlier source, Licinius Macer, who came up a couple of episodes ago, is an important source as well for these guys. So we do know that there are other writers who have written histories previous to Livy and Dionysius, but how much they've got to add and where they're getting their material from is also open question.
Absolutely. So essentially, these new consuls know they want to make an impression. They don't want to be overshadowed by this dynamic duo, this, you know, bad boys. Well, they're not really bad boys. They're too good, to be honest. They don't want to be overshadowed by this Batman and Robin thing.
These two who did everything right in their consulship.
Absolutely. So they decide, look, we've somewhat atoned for what happened with Ardea a couple of years ago. However, let's push that further.
Ooh, I have some details.
Okay, all right. So the idea of pushing it further, obviously, would be that this would truly force everyone to forget that Rome ever made a bad decision.
We can wipe the slate clean and begin again.
Yeah.
I'm assuming, correct me if I'm wrong, that you're referring to the triumviri coloniae decudendi.
Look, I wasn't going to put it like that, but yes, that is what I'm talking about.
This is the group of three men brought together basically for the commission of the settlement. So trying to figure out the land in respect to Ardea once and for all.
Absolutely. So they forced through a decree that as the population of Ardea had been completely decimated by what had just happened, that bizarre private conflict that started a civil war over a marriage, that Rome would therefore be setting up a colony in Ardea.
I don't think this solves their shame issue at all.
but wait. There is a very clever aspect to this. So obviously they're going to need people to enroll in the colony because they don't want Ardea to fall prey to the Volscians, who, as we highlighted in the previous episode, are very close to Ardea and an enemy of Rome. So they don't want that happening. And Ardea used to be on good terms with Rome. They want to maintain that, all of that sort of thing. So they set up the decree in this very particular way so that it seems as though what they're doing is introducing something new rather than overturning a decision made by the people and assisted by the tribune of the plebs, I suppose. Like, they don't want to be seen that they're going back on the decision of the people, okay? But the senators privately get together and they... never a good sign. But actually, in this case, they are actually for once doing something good. It's kind of shocking. So they decide that they're going to enroll as many colonists as they possibly can who are people from this culture, like from the culture associated with Ardea.
They're
going to be the colonists, not Romans.
They're going to give Ardeans back their land
in a sneaky way.
Through creating an Ardean colony
populated
by Ardeans.
Yes, so the only land that will be distributed to colonists will be the land that the Romans took in this bad judgment, this borderland area. So that's the land that they're splitting up amongst colonists. And they are not going to give any Roman person any of this land until all the, they call them Rutilians in this sense, but that's just referring to the people from this culture. Ardea is the capital for these particular people. Those are the people that are going to be prioritized. So it's a very sneaky way of essentially handing the land back to the people of Ardea.
So does this mean that Ardea from this point onwards is going to be technically classified as a Roman colony whilst being mostly populated by its native peoples?
Yes.
Interesting.
It is. And this is when those triumvirs that you were talking about, three men, of course, triumvirs, they are appointed to help set up this colony.
Yeah.
And I have some names, but I suspect that this might be something that you also have. So.
Oh, well, I mean, that would be ideal, I suppose.
No, that's okay. I just wanted to check. Okay, so they are Agrippa Menenius, Titus Cloelius Siculus, Marcus Abutius Helva. Now, you might
Abutius
recognize...
Abutius Helva sounds a little bit familiar.
A lot of those names, I think, sound familiar. Like, Menenius, again, is a name that we have heard before. So these are all people whose names we've heard of before. And they're going to be in a difficult situation because they have to tread lightly, okay, in this situation because they don't want to be upsetting the plebeians in any way in terms of this whole land issue because the people had decided that they wanted to take this land for themselves. And apparently, the patricians are also unimpressed that these other men that were chosen I kind of get the impression that they're just not schmoozing as much as they should be or something, but they feel like they haven't somehow earned anyone's good graces. I don't really know what Livy's trying to get at with this, but they're basically not very popular with anybody.
Okay, this is really interesting. I mean, I don't have much to add to the names or the politics that's going on here.
Yes.
What I will say is that having very little information, I spent time looking into what does this Triumvir group do?
Yes.
Actually. And so they're created by a senatorial resolution, apparently.
Yeah.
So the fact that people within the patrician class seem to be upset about the choices seems a bit odd.
Well, I don't know if they're upset with the choice at first or whether it's once they're chosen, maybe. It's not really very clear, but definitely I agree with you that they are set up by senators. Like, this is totally a senatorial decision.
This is a senatorial decision. Yeah. And there is really strict limitations on the power that can be exercised.
Mm.
So basically what happens is the area for which land distribution is to happen is staked out, in the sense that, like, they're like, this is only for this area that you're doing this thing in. And once that task has been completed, that group of three dissolves.
Right.
So they don't get to continue on in their power. And this might be a bit of a consequence of the Romans feeling a little bit uneasy with people deciding that their job hadn't been finished and continuing on and then turning into a whole gang of a decemvirate. Which continues to try and manipulate everybody for their own sake.
Understandable. So
things will be dissolved. There is an end point to this work.
Yes.
And it only involves a very specific geography.
Yes, for sure. So the triumvirs are summoned eventually by the tribunes of the plebs to trial for what they are doing. And this, again, seems to be because even though the senators have been all like, ooh, we'll be super clever and we'll have all these secret meetings.
The plebeians have seen through this and been like, but you're not giving us the land.
Yes. That appears to have been a charade that nobody's falling for eventually. But in order to avoid this prosecution, they're just like, you know what? We're just going to stay here. We'll just stay in our day. No problems. That way we can't be called to trial.
I guess I just live over here now.
Yeah, I guess I just live in this area. You know, it's not so bad.
Wow.
It's pretty similar. And because of doing this, they are therefore not put on trial. And eventually people respect them because they reveal that even though they're apparently quite unpopular at first, they're actually very fair and just then. And this is where Livy chooses to end the year.
Oh, look, it doesn't make a lot of sense. I'm not going to pretend that Livy is making sense here.
No.
There seems to be some missing information. And maybe Livy doesn't know what to do with it. Dionysius of Halicarnassus, because we don't have him, I don't know what he said about it. He clearly wrote about it, but it's missing.
Mm.
The only other piece of evidence that I have for this year comes from Diodorus Siculus, who yet again focuses mostly on Athenian history and what's going on with the Greeks versus everybody else in the Aegean. And then in one final sentence, notes that in Italy, the Romans sent colonists to Ardea and portioned out the land in allotments.
Which is true.
To a certain extent. We don't get any more detail than that. So the suggestion in Diodorus seems to be that definitely some Romans get sent to Ardea.
This is actually a really good point, I suppose, to highlight how reading a range of sources is so important. And also, as you were saying previously about, you know, choices that historians make about what to include and what to exclude and how it shapes their account, because technically what Diodorus Siculus has said is true.
But technically,
if you look at the extra detail that Livy provides, whilst it's obviously hugely problematic because it's clearly not making a whole lot of sense, there is a whole lot more potentially going on here than just that.
Yeah, and it does seem that there is perhaps a broader strategy that the Romans are attempting to apply here, even if they fail to do so with good grace. But that's also all I have.
Yeah, look, it seems to, on the whole, have been quite a peaceful year.
Yeah.
And that's what Livy kind of finishes up with. So that means that, Dr. G, I feel like we need to go into 441 BC.
Yeah, forget 442. It's done. It's dusted. Ardea, the land has been allotted. Nobody's returned home. It's 441.
It is.
Do, 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 do.
Now, this also is going to be a very short year because, once again, it's quite peaceful in terms of really a lack of external conflict and also not a hell of a lot going on inside of Rome either.
I have some exciting things.
Okay. Well, let's start with the consuls, shall we?
The consuls.
Okay.
It's 441 BCE. Who shall the consuls be? Gaius Furius.
Yeah.
Father unknown, grandfather unknown. Pacillus Fusus.
Ooh,
yeah,
okay.
He's got a few names. Patrician. Yeah. And Manius, or perhaps Marcus. There's some dispute over the praenomen.
Yeah.
Papirius, father unknown, grandfather unknown, Crassus.
Ooh, that is a name.
Yeah, sound familiar?
It does.
Yeah, that family's going to have a long and illustrious history.
Although, not necessarily attached to
this particular line.
No, that's what I was going to say. I was like, that suddenly just occurred to me that that's not quite the right connection. But anyway, I do also have those names, although, as you say, there's that dispute over who's who. But anyway, apparently, back in the days of the Decemvirs, they had pledged some games after the whole secession of the plebs thing had happened. And they decide that this is now the appropriate time for those games to finally take place.
Remember those games?
I actually went back and I read through all of the second December.
Yeah, I don't remember those games being announced at all.
I could not find a record of these games being mentioned. I mean, admittedly, it was very late at night. It's possible that in the haze of what was 449 that I somehow did not find it because I was just tired. But I actually do not recollect this at all.
Look, maybe there were some pamphlets up around Rome and somebody saw one and it had faded quite severely by now. And they're like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Games.
Games.
Yeah. Now, I do also have a tribune of the plebs being named.
Oh.
Yes. Poetilius. A name I quite like. But unfortunately, not a person to be liked, Dr. G.
Oh.
Yeah. Typical tribune, which means he wants to stir up trouble.
I love a good troublemaker.
Yeah. So this guy was tribune of the plebs maybe for the second time. He may have actually been one of the tribunes from the previous year.
Mm.
Okay. He also had been elected on the promise that these games would be carried out in this year.
Wow. Somebody's reputation is riding on these games pretty hard now.
I'm like, what games? What are you talking about?
Look, it's been a tough few years, you know, we could use some games.
Yeah. Now, Poetilius decides that, well, okay, if the consuls have stolen my thunder by talking about the games, I know what I'll do. I'll say that the consuls need to put forward a proposal where the plebs are going to get some land.
Oh boy, we've come full circle.
I'm just like, oh my God, I agree with you. I agree with you, but this seems a bit out of left field after everything we've been dealing
with.
Look,
land rights have been off the agenda for a little while, except until maybe like last year.
Yeah. They're always going to be on the agenda until there is equality.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
Anyway, so naturally the patricians respond, no, there will be no land for you. Thank you very much. Then Poetilius is like, okay, got to take another strategy. Instead, I'm going to try really hard to get a vote from the Senate about whether we're going to have these military tribunes with consular authority or whether there are going to be consuls voted for in the next election.
Oh, okay. He's bringing out the big guns, isn't he?
Yes. And again, the vote goes for consuls.
Wow.
Yes. Poetilius then says, all right, fine, have your consuls. But I'll tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to disturb the levy.
Ooh.
And do you know what the response is from the patricians? What levy? There's no war, you idiot. Go ahead. Mess up the levy. See if we care. Good one.
Wow.
And that's all I have.
This year is bonkers.
It is.
All right. So
yeah.
I have none of those kinds of details.
Okay.
All I've got
is
Diodorus Siculus.
Right.
Still. This is book 12, section 35.
Okay.
And he names the consuls, gets the consuls' names correct.
Right.
Incredible stuff.
Yes.
So he has a source. But he also talks about what is happening in Italy mm-hmm. to the south. So we're talking about Magna Graecia,
okay.
essentially.
Yeah.
This might become of interest later, so I'm going to mention it now. So we're not in Rome anymore. We're talking about the inhabitants of Thurii.
Okay.
Now, Thurii...
I've heard of this place because Spartacus ends up... Mm. Yeah, capturing this town. Sorry, I got distracted.
Thurii yeah. is apparently founded... in and around this period,
right.
potentially in 443.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're a couple of years away from that. But it is on the Gulf of Tarentum.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're thinking about Italy today, that is the Gulf of Taranto.
Right.
It's in Calabria, and it's considered to be the arch, if you like, of the boot.
Aww.
Oh. So a cute spot, really nice spot. And... they've got a situation where they're like, well, what is our foundation story? Who are we really? Where did we come from?
Let's get creative.
Yeah, let's let's explore our feelings about that.
I've got an idea. A virgin gives birth to two twin boys.
They spend some time thinking about it and they send somebody out to Delphi to help them with it. Because because Magna Graecia, they're... Greek by extraction.
Yes.
So
yes.
The Thurii are probably not Italian people. They're probably of Greek background.
Right.
And they're like, okay, let's ask the oracle at Delphi for help with our foundation story. Mm. And they come back and they're like, it's Apollo, everybody. Apollo is our founder.
Hilarious. Okay.
And so that's great. And everybody settles down to enjoy their newfound sense of self within that. So the Thurii, nothing really is happening in this year, but they're feeling themselves.
Okay, okay.
Feeling that vibe, feeling that Apollo-ness.
Interesting.
You know, we've got a bit of a connection to music, a sense of the sun, you know.
No wonder it's so appealing to the slaves.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. What a diverse group of facts we have for such a random year. I think, though, having covered 2 years now, Dr. G, it is time for the partial pick.
Ah, yes. Rome, Rome, Rome. Can you succeed in winning 50 gold eagles? I feel like, as a caveat, on the slight information we've been able to glean from the last 2 years, that the chances are probably pretty low.
I'm not having good feelings about it. Even though we're doing 2 years in one episode.
2 years worth of information, 2 years of Rome being able to excel and assert herself in some profound way. Will they come out on top?
No.
All right. First category, military clout.
No.
Just a straight up no.
Definitely no.
All right. So zero straight off the bat. Yeah. 2 years, nothing to show for it.
No.
Oofed. Diplomacy.
Okay. I feel like there is something going on here, at least in 442, in terms of what's happening with Ardea.
They are trying to figure something out.
They are trying to. I mean, I don't know if it's exactly diplomacy, but they are trying to be diplomatic in the way that they're handling the situation.
It would seem, if we're reading Livy straight, which, I mean, we could do.
it's an idea.
It's an idea.
Yeah.
That the Romans are actually trying to make up for what has happened in the past and give Ardeans something back as part of this settlement colonizing thing that they're doing right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I suppose you could see that as diplomatic.
Exactly. So I feel like maybe, I don't know, a four?
Sure, why not?
Okay. All right, so it's a four.
I don't feel very invested in what's happening in Ardea, but it's because I have no source material.
At least we're finally getting to an end of it. I mean, my God, even though I know, I did say at the time, look, this is going to be a thing that comes back, but I really can't actually believe that we're still talking about it so many episodes later.
It just keeps going and going. All right, so that's diplomacy.
Yep.
The next category is expansion.
Definitely no. Well, okay, hang on.
Well, technically, if they're trying to find a way to filter some Roman citizens into that borderland area of Ardea and get some colonists in there under the guise and aegis that they're also trying to support the Ardeans to get back into that area.
It's actually very crafty.
Yes. Yeah.
And technically, yes, you're right. I mean, it is now a Roman colony, so...
technically, that's a little bit of an expansion.
It is, actually. So I guess maybe... I don't know, maybe another 4?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Or is that too much? I mean, it's not like it's a huge area.
Well, it's not a huge area, but it is quite strategic.
That's true.
So you think about it. Ostia is the port that Rome has that's attached at the end of the Tiber.
Yes.
But it is maybe useful to have other ports.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And Ardea is a port city. It is on the coast.
Mm.
So in that sense, it maybe has a higher value.
Okay. All right. So 4?
4.
Okay, 4 it is. All right, not too bad so far. Okay.
So far. Virtus.
I don't feel like anybody's doing anything that extraordinary in this episode.
No standouts?
I don't think so, no.
What about your friend, the Tribune of the Plebs?
Look, he's giving it everything he's got, that's for sure. If he hadn't said anything that year, Livy would have absolutely nothing to talk about.
He does seem to have bungled most things that he's been involved in, though, so poor man.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. He's trying very hard, but I don't know.
I don't think it constitutes a weird choice if you don't get to pull it off.
It feels more like self-interest or something. Like he's just trying to make a name for himself.
Oofed.
Yeah.
All right. So no Virtus.
No.
All right. Citizen score.
Well, the reason why we've managed to fit 2 years into one episode, which is very uncharacteristic for us, is because it's very peaceful in Rome and outside of Rome, which can only really be a good thing for the citizens.
Yeah, there's not a lot of conflict. And so we'd have to suspect that things are going all right because we'd certainly hear about it if things were going wrong.
Yes.
And Poetellius would have something meaningful to do with his role as Tribune of the Plebs.
Yeah.
Perhaps, I mean, if there was real conflict to be encountered.
Yeah, like sure, plebeians still have an issue with land, but that's been the case for like decades.
And technically they've gained some land quite recently.
Technically.
So while land rights is a discussion that's continuing to happen.
Yeah.
Some people would have been given some land quite recently around Ardea.
That's true. All right. So I actually think maybe we have to go for a 5. Like it's not...
They haven't gone backwards. Maybe no. Even a 6, because some of them may have been included in this colony land allotment.
True. They did say that they weren't going to put Romans in until they ran out of Rutilians, which would imply that there might be some Romans there. So
yes.
Yeah. All right. A 6. So that means that we have a grand total of 14 golden eagles.
Oh boy.
Not great when you consider this is 2 years, but actually not as bad as I was thinking. I was actually like, oh my God, is this going to be another 0?
Not another 0.
No.
No, they've done quite well. I think if they get over 10 at this point, they're doing all right for themselves. It's a tough time this century.
It is. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Dr. G. I have to say, a bit of foreshadowing here. The next couple of years are going to be far more dramatic.
Look, I'm very excited because Dionysus of Halicarnassus kicks back in somewhere really soon. I'll have something to say.
All right, until then,
farewell. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Partial Historians. I am Dr. G, and on behalf of Dr. Rad and myself, we want to thank all of our amazing Patreon supporters for helping us keep putting this show together and making it the best that we can. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, you definitely are welcome. We would love that. And you'll get exclusive posts, a little bit of audio here and there, and also currently some highlight reel bloopers of us attempting to get our YouTube channel together. As a special thanks, we'd like to thank some of our new patrons, Cara, Divus Augustus, thank you, Hillary, and Lucas. And also a shout out to some of our longtime supporters, James, Juliana, Flora, Elise, Erin, Ali, Andrew, Anna, and Austin. Thank you so much for your support. We look forward to having you join us again soon for another episode of The Partial Historians.